Morning. Welcome to Village Baptist Church, both those present in the building and all those worshiping with us online. We welcome you to this third Sunday in Advent. I don't know about you, but I cannot believe it's only 1 week until Christmas. If you haven't done your shopping, you better get on a stick. Before we have the announcements, we're going to take just a couple minutes to greet one another. Please say hello to your neighbor or a friend across the aisle or someone that you haven't met yet. And when you hear the music, hustle back to your seats. All right. As you can see, we have a number of announcements today. Number one on the list is the carol sing tonight at 6 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Did I say a.m.? I'm sorry, the carol sing is already over. 6 p.m. tonight. Please bring a plate of cookies to share. And also, we need to move the piano from the choir room over to the fellowship hall. And so if there's any strong bodies out there that want to help after the service, please come and help move the piano. Look like a lot of volunteers here. That's great. We're starting the buddy program again in 2024. We need adults who are willing to pray for special youth and for the youth in general. Please contact Renee Deering, and the information is on the slide there. Village Voice deadline is December 20th, so that's this coming Wednesday, I believe. So if you're writing an article for the Voice, please get it in by Wednesday so that can get out on time. The children will be singing on Christmas Eve. Please contact Denise Miles if you have a child that would like to participate. That's open to all kids. Denise, do you have something to say? If you didn't hear that, the children are going to be singing Joy to the World and
Away in the Manger.
And Away in the Manger. So they're very welcome. Any child who's in attendance is welcome to come up and sing with them. Did I get that right?
No.
Okay. A reminder that we have the Christmas Eve candlelight service at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And there will be a watch night service on December 31st, New Year's Eve, at 8 p.m. For those of you who have attended in the past, it used to be at 11 o'clock. It will be at 8 o'clock this year. The Angel Tree mission for the Overland Gardens children, I mentioned last week that all the angels were gone. The children, the offering for this was a resounding success. So thanks to everyone who donated. And watch for pictures of the Christmas party for the children in the Village Voice. All right, what's next here? The last notation here is for the Christmas offering. Most people who attend Village know that our church donates our Christmas offering to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship's Global Missions Project. The 2024 theme is equipping with every good thing from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It's important to note that 100% of the offering goes towards supporting the presence of CBF personnel in the United States and around the world. Take a look at this short video about this project.
Keď sme sa modlili, som povedal, Pane, som tu. Ak treba nejak pomôcť, prosím, použij si mňa. Tam je hraničný priechod peší medzi Ukrajinou a Slovenskom pozdĺž celej tej ulice vonku. Tak jedna rodina sedela. Deň, keď sme prichádzali, Slovensko nemá pre Romov kapacitu, ako hotel a tak ďalej.
Within 24 hours, his church had been overwhelmed with refugees because of the way the Roma refugees were being treated as they came across the border.
Lebo na Slovensku ich dávali do stanov. Do Romov vyhadzovali niekedy z hotelov a tak ďalej, kde boli ubytovaní.
I saw a church building turned into a refugee center, being the hands and feet of Christ in a crisis situation.
Šen videl potrebu, že tieto veci robím skoro sám s týmom v zbore a nedá sa, aby sme takto pokračovali ďalej, tak navrhol, že príde tu jeden misionár, a to bol Eddie Aldape, a bude mi pomáhať. V podstate tedy to už bolo taký týždeň a dačo.
Decide whether to speak in Spanish or in English.
Neviem, ak mám rozprávať po španielsky alebo po anglicky.
He came in and doesn't speak any Slovak, doesn't speak any Ukrainian, no Russian, no Roma. And he made himself essential to the response ministry that was going on in that church.
Vtedy, keď prišiel Eddie, nemali sme ich kde poslať, lebo centre boli preplnené. Sa staral o týchto Romov.
We rented a van. I would go to the border, pick up people. We would load the van with materials. We sent food and donations back to Ukraine. People are almost the same in every part of the world. They want to live in peace. They want to provide for their families. And they want the best for their kids.
To vlastne sme pokračovali v tejto práci, ale videli sme, že nemôžeme sa. Také uistenie. Jednu mamu, ktorá už nevládala, naozaj bola vysílená. Ja som videl, že toto je človek, s ktorým chcem ďalej spolupracovať. Je to človek, ktorý vidím, že má v srdci to, čo horí v mojom srdci.
Was a powerful video, wasn't it? If you want to get more information about Global Missions, it's available at cbf.net, offering for Global Missions. And contributions can be made by check with the Christmas offering in the memo line or in the Tithely drop-down menu. You'll see a spot for global missions. The Christmas offering envelopes are also in the pews, I believe, or they will be. All right, any other announcements that we may have missed? All right, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Snuggle up to the poinsettias here. So please stand and join me as we sing.
Joy seems far away some days.
At other moments, we can hardly wait to rejoice again.
Today we light a third candle, the candle of joy, strengthening the shimmer of our first two Advent candles.
As these lighted candles shine, we pray for joy to break out and shine more brightly.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Welcome to Village Baptist on this third Sunday of Advent, a Sunday of joy. A number of people have said to me in the last couple of days, they don't feel too joyful this year. Well, that's understandable. There's so much going on in our lives and in the world. That's understandable. But let's today find some good news to share with each other and with the world around us. This is a time when we share our prayer concerns, but also our blessings. Because of privacy concerns, we're going to be muting the sound in just a moment for those who are streaming the service. But after the prayer concerns are shared, the sound will return to everyone. And so I ask you, what is on your hearts today? Well, Lord Jesus, come quickly to your people. Come today to David. To do that miracle that we are all asking for this morning. Doctors say one thing, but you know what is best and what is right. So we lift him up before your throne of grace, daring to ask that he be restored. But also daring to acknowledge that your will be done in his life. We pray today for Dolores, for Wilbert, for Bruce, and for Linda. We pray for all those whose names have been shared here today. And we would not forget Corinne Woodson and her mom and dad, that you would be with them as they surround David with love and care. For all those who are sick, we pray for healing, for comfort, for strength. For those who mourn the loss of loved ones, maybe recently or maybe a long time ago, Lord, hear our prayer. For those who are facing difficult times and places, difficult decisions, for those who feel they have no purpose in life to call their own, for those who are waiting for a diagnosis, or for those who lack adequate health care, Lord, hear our prayers. For children who go to bed hungry or homeless, for those who are rebuilding their lives following natural disasters, for those who live in war-torn areas of the world, those who are held hostage, those who are displaced, those who have lost loved ones to war, or whose worlds have been rocked by violence, God, hear our prayer. Hear our prayers for each and for all. We know that your heart aches for those who hurt and for those who suffer. We need you to lighten our darkness. We need you to restore our joy. Come, Lord Jesus. We wait. Amen.
Okay, it's time for the children's story. All right. How many more weeks till JC's birthday? That's right. We get kind of a two for one next week. What number candle did we light today? Hold up your fingers. Three. This is the third candle. And not only, it's my favorite candle, I think. I mean, I like them all. But this one is pink. And it's about what? Does anyone know?
Joy.
Joy. Bam. I knew you'd know. What's another word? Now raise your hand on this one. What's a word? Think about it. You don't even know the question. What's a word or feeling that comes to mind when you think about joy without using the word joy? Think about it. Think about it. Yes.
Happiness.
I knew someone would say that. I was hoping it would be. I had some things to plan if you didn't say happy, but I was going to lead you there, but you did it anyways. So we're going to play a quick game, and everyone here can play the game with me. It's not that fun of a game, but you have this thing, our thumb, right? We're going to go thumbs up when the things I say make us happy, and the thumbs down if it doesn't, right?
I'm
going
to think happy to be.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. All right, first one, candy. Love that one. Getting a cold. Okay. All right. Seeing our friends at church. All right. Going to school. Next, you know. Skinning our knee. Owie. Don't like that one. Reading stories with our family. Going to children's church. So we have a cool craft today we're going to do. Singing. Some of us maybe like it more than others. When we miss a friend. Oh, what a positive way to think. Giving presents. That's my favorite. Getting presents. Feeling left out. Oh, he's really latching on to this. He wants to be happy all the time. Dancing. Love to dance. Feeling lonely. Christmas. Yes. Yes. Everyone did a great job. Give yourselves a round of applause. You did a great job playing that game. That was short. So here's something the Bible tells us about joy. All right, in John chapter 15, verse 9 through 11, it says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. All right, and so when Jesus came, all right, we light these candles and say these things, hope, peace, joy, love, because these are things we can see from Jesus living with us, and these are things that can fill our heart. So are we always happy? Did we always have our thumb up?
Yes.
Well, you did. Asterisk, most of us didn't. All right, do you think God wants us to be happy? I think so, definitely. But are we always happy? No, we aren't. But even when those bad things happen, we all have Kyle, and we have people like Kyle. Like Jesus was kind of like Kyle. He helped us learn about joy, and that even when things are bad, we can usually find a little bit of joy, and that even though it hurts, we know that Jesus and God are with us by our side, and that there are things like the memories of those people that we miss, or the new friends that we might make, or the friends we have here at church that are going to stand beside us when we're feeling sad. You probably do look a little like Jesus. I'm not sure.
Let's stick
that candle. We'll talk about it at children's church today. So we're going to wrap this thing up. That's where I'm my cue. So we know that we can look around this Christmas season and find joy all around us. Let ourselves experience joy and be there for those people who might be feeling a little lonely. Just give me 1 second, buddy. I promise. A tough crowd. He's my timer. So in just a minute, we're going to watch Miss Casey sing some beautiful music. Then everyone elementary school age and lower is welcome to come to Children's Church. We will talk about what the big fat candle in the middle is and make an amazing craft. And it's going to be great. So we'll watch. Let's give a quick prayer, and then me and Mr. Gary will take you back to Children's Church after Miss Casey sings. All right. Dear Lord, please pray for all of us. Pray that these little people can remind us of what it means to experience your joy and to overflow with joy, and that even when we experience those things that don't make us have a big thumbs up, that we'll remember that you're here with us and give ourselves a moment to think about, even if it's just a teeny tiny part of our day, that sometime our thumb might flip over and we can smile. In your name we pray. Amen.
I first heard this song a few weeks ago, and it really touched me. And then I found out that it's actually based on a children's story. So this morning, you get to see the pictures of the pages from the children's book while I sing. So I hope you all enjoy it as much as I do.
Joy sound like? Is it quiet like snow? Does joy sound like the laughter of friends that you know? Is joy like the sound of a kiss on your cheek? Or like holding your breath when you play hide and seek? Maybe joy sounds real loud like a hip hip hooray, or a whispered I love you at the end of the day. Well, joy sounds a little like all of these things, but a long time ago, joy sounded like wings. Sounding joy, oh joy, oh joy, oh. You can imagine on a dark winter's night, the sky filled with angels all shining so light, and suddenly the shepherds and sheep down below were surrounded by songs from the heavenly host. Glad tidings, great joy, we are never alone, 'cause God sent his Son to make heaven our home. So every Christmas, each girl and each boy could lift up their voice and repeat, sounding joy, oh joy, oh joy, oh. Sounding joy, oh joy, oh joy, oh. So every Christmas we string up the lights to remember the way that those angels shone bright. And we sing all the songs and we bang all the drums to remember the day that God sent his Son. Glad tidings, great joy, we are never alone, 'cause God sent his Son to make heaven our home. So every Christmas, each girl and each boy could lift up their voice and repeat, sounding joy, oh joy, oh joy, oh. Sounding joy, oh joy, oh joy, oh.
Thank you, Casey. That was wonderful. All right. The scripture reading for today is from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and verses 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent by the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. May the Lord give us understanding of his holy word.
Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Have you ever known anyone who you would describe as a real character? That usually means that such a person behaves in a way that they do unexpected things in unexpected ways. Well, let me tell you the story of a man named, not Jed, but John the Baptist. And I suspect you've heard the story before because it seems like we can't move through Advent to Christmas in any year without meeting up with John. We meet him at the beginning of all four Gospels, in fact. And John was one of those people I think we might call a real character. He certainly fits the bill. He dressed strangely with a garment of camel's hair, a leather girdle around his waist. He was organic way before his time. His diet consisted of locusts and wild honey. And he goes out into the wilderness far away from the city, preaching and calling people to repent and to bear fruit worthy of repentance. And he talks about this one who is coming. The scripture says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness to the light. And when John was out there in the desert, boy, could he draw a crowd. People came from near and far to hear his message, so much so that the powers that be, the religious elite, were becoming concerned. Priests and Levites were sent by the Pharisees to try to discern who this John was and why he was resonating with so many people. After all, it wasn't immediately obvious. One of John's sermons proclaimed, "You brood of vipers, the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Therefore, everything that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water, but one who is coming will baptize with fire." Is that the kind of good news that would bring you back next Sunday? I don't think so. And everyone's asking, who is this man John? Well, John is the one who points to Jesus as the Christ. John says, make straight the way of the Lord. He's quoting Isaiah there. John is a witness that God is at last coming for us and among us to be with us. John said that God's advent was coming soon. John was a witness sent from God to testify that Jesus is indeed the light of the world. And these emissaries of the Pharisees arrive. I wouldn't be surprised if John knew they were coming. Probably knew instinctively that they were up to no good. And they said to John, who are you? They want to know, are you Messiah? No, I'm not Messiah. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you prophet? No, I'm not Elijah. John is Mr. Not-Not-No. And they're getting frustrated, these emissaries. So what do you say about yourself? We have this square box. We have a box with square holes and round holes and triangular holes. Which one of these do you fit in, John? And again, John says, I'm a voice. Voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And what he's really saying is, this is not about me. It's about the light of the world. Here comes Jesus. So get ready to change direction, to be surprised, and to see the world turned upside down. Prepare yourselves. And you know, this is partly what makes John such a character, at least to me. He could have pointed to himself. He was drawing big crowds. It must have been tempting to lift himself up, to build himself up. There's a pastor of a mega church in Houston, I won't mention his name, who once began his sermon this way, you are good. You deserve a happy life, but those old naysayers are taking you down. And he counseled the congregation to look in the mirror every morning and say, I will have a good day. I believe in me. And you know what? That sells. That sells. John would never preach that. Indeed, how many times have you seen someone draw a crowd, not by pointing to themselves, but by pointing to someone else? Doesn't happen very often, does it? John is a witness sent by God to point the way to the Christ. He points beyond himself. And it appears to me that this is exactly what we are called to do as followers. Christians are those people who have been surprised by some good news, and they can't help it. They just have to tell somebody about it. Somebody who hasn't heard it. And you know as well as I do, when we have good news, we want to share it. We do. We'll find a way to share it. Hey, guess what I just saw? You'll never believe what just happened to me. You know, we're probably in church today because someone sent from God told us the story of Jesus. I would guess that just about everyone here has a John the Baptist or a Joanna the Baptist in their background. Someone who read Bible stories to us in the past, maybe. Maybe it was a grandparent. Or our parents, or a Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school teacher. Maybe it was some student friend of ours who sat up with us half the night to try to help us look at faith a little more deeply. May have been some wild-eyed preacher even, real character, who said just the right words that warmed our hearts and enabled us to respond in faith. But somebody in our past was sent from God for you and for me. And we're called to point beyond ourselves to the Christ who, when heaven and earth met, came to all of us in love. As John was sent from God, so we are sent as we try to follow his way. And just as an aside, I love the hymn, O Come, O Ye Faithful. It's one of my favorites. And I love the chorus, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. But I want to tell you, Christ doesn't ask us to adore him. He asks us to follow him. He asks us to follow him. And we can do that. We can tell others about him through the things that we say and the things that we do and the choices that we make. Do you recall that in the book of Acts, Jesus, after being crucified and then raised, meets with his disciples in Jerusalem, and he told them, I want you to be my witnesses to Judea and Samaria, to all the world, concentric circles outward. I'm sending you out, just like God sent a man named John. I'm sending you out into all the world to tell the good news, to share the light, to point the way beyond yourselves to someone else. John was sent to witness to that light. And I was reading Luke's gospel, where John the Baptist says, repent, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Stop doing crazy things. Try something new, something that will bear fruit, something that will bring about the changes that you're longing for, real and substantive change. Repentance, turning around, change, metanoia, conversion maybe, a sign that God loves us. Not a requirement that must be met before God will love us. And this was unnerving to the crowd. And they said, well, John, what then should we do? John says, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has one coat. And whoever has a lot of food must do likewise. And even the tax collectors asked, well, what should we do? And John said, for starters, don't extort money. And be satisfied with your wages. In short, in pointing the way to Christ, we value the well-being of others as highly as we do our own. We share what we have. We live for others. We live mutually and lovingly and compassionately. And we let the light of Christ shine on us so that he can then shine on the world through us. And there are so many illustrations I could lift up about this. One I remember reading so well is in South Africa during the darkest and deepest days of apartheid, people would actually light candles as witness to their faith that one day over time, justice would prevail and the light of freedom would shine. And the government, in response, condemned the lighting of the candles, and the children would laugh, our government is afraid of candles. And they were. They were afraid of the light. Because those candles fueled a strong faith, and that stirred the conscience of a nation to a hard truth and a painful reconciliation. But those candles pointed the way to the light of the world. On Tuesday, the mission commission of this church joins with the mission team from my former church. They'll provide a Christmas party and gifts for the boys and girls at Overland Gardens in Landover. They are sent from God to point the way toward the light. I read of a woman who handed a printed card to anyone who might be a migrant. The card had her name, address, and phone number. And she says to them, If anyone threatens you in any way, you call me immediately. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But Jesus has sent me to stand with you and speak for you. Don't be afraid. I also read of a church that baptized a family from Afghanistan. Just before the water was poured over their heads, the pastor said, "Church, if we baptize them, we have to protect them. God calls us to offer more than just friendly hospitality. We have to promise God long-term generosity and relationship with these whom God has sent to us." I want to close with an invitation from the author of the book, Heaven and Earth. I've been sharing bits and pieces of that with you in the last few weeks. The author is Dr. William Willimon, and he extends this invitation. Think about someone you know, maybe someone at work or at school, or even in your own family, who needs some good news. Someone who we perceive has not yet gotten the message that God is with us and for us. How about inviting that person to join us in worship on Christmas Eve? Why don't we be a witness to the good news by inviting someone to join us as we stand in wonder before the great mystery of the incarnation? The church will be at its best. I bring you tidings of great joy. Now go find someone who needs to see the light and tell them all about it. Down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. You know the chorus? Sing it with me. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. That was pretty good. God bless you. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the joyous announcement from John that in Christ you're coming to us to touch our lives. To help us change our ways, to make us whole. And we rejoice that you are with us, that you've always been with us, that you'll be with us always. May we in turn share that same good news with those around us who have never heard it, through the words we speak, the actions we take. In his name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join me as we sing, "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light." And I've given you the melody today because it's new to us.
Now may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you in the storm, and one day may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.